It is the Roster Doctors on WSBTRadio.com. I'm Jim. He's Craig.
Yes, indeed. And this is a wrap of a week two of Roster Doctors in fantasy football and getting you ready for week three. And
what a bloody week two it was.
No doubt about it. This week we are flying without our brother, the godfather, Tony Cotillo. If you follow Tony at TCotillo23, he has been busy this week with the Eagles news and a lot of players going down. So we gave him the week off so he can take care of his stuff. And we can take care of ours. We're getting you ready for another glorious week of fantasy football and also getting into some of the other issues and stories that are really taking place in the NFL right now as it pertains to fantasy football as well. And the injury bug is back, Jim. It is back, and it hit some big-time players really hard in week two. It's been brutal.
Not only did it hit like a little earlier than I thought that it would,
yeah,
but man, was it hungry.
No doubt about
Holy
it.
Holy cow.
No doubt about it. Of course, you can always follow the Roster Docs at Roster Docs WSBT. And we start right off with the big one. He's the big man and future Hall of Famer. He's been to multiple Super Bowls, won some, lost some, but Ben Roethlisberger out for the season with the football equivalent of Tommy John surgery. Now, he already knew he's been hurting fantasy owners so far this year, but we expected that he was going to get it back on track. This is a huge blow to the Steelers and for guys that depended on Big Ben, at least as a streamer from week to week. We know the Steelers are 0-2. Like I said, he hasn't played that well, Jim. But this reminds me of a situation that you and I grew up in, and this is that Montana Young feel to me, which was really awkward because you got to see Steve Young talk about it last night. Well, not necessarily about this situation, but just about the injury itself.
Mm-hmm.
Because here you have Ben Roethlisberger that's taken the team to all these great heights, wins and losses, near the end of his career. And then you have this kid from Oklahoma State, Mason Rudolph, that they have been...
They were high on him.
They were really high on him. Yeah. If you saw him at Oklahoma State, you should be. He's almost a carbon copy of Ben Roethlisberger. Almost just as tall, 6'4", 6'3", cannon of an arm, just like Big Ben when he came out of Miami, Ohio. And he can run.
Yeah.
You don't want him running a lot, but he can move it around enough. And this is kind of the situation because Big Ben has come out and said today that he wants to play again next year when he's able to.
Awkward.
What he may find, though, even though he did sign a 3-year extension this past offseason, he may find that it's not his team anymore when he comes back.
Right, especially if Mason Rudolph winds up basically taking him to Big Ben-esque heights.
Right,
either fantasy-wise or just in the actual game of football. I mean, he's got a tall order because, you know, he doesn't have the weapons that Big Ben has had the last few years. Mm-hmm. You know, no Le'Veon Bell, no Antonio Brown to throw to, Juju Smith-Schuster.
Juju Smith-Schuster, by the way, has become the fastest receiver to 2,000 yards in his career, faster than any other wide receiver. So don't give up on Juju.
I'm not giving up right now. The fact that Juju's basically had to go from the Robin role to Batman.
Yeah,
that's a tall order.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
So he's going to shake that by the end of the year.
The other part about this is Big Ben and his ego.
Would he remember this? Oh, I remember.
Just a couple of years ago that he was be trying to do the Brett Favre. I'm just going to do a one-year deal. I'm going to keep on holding the Steelers over a barrel. And they were like, oh, no, we're going to go out
in the third round. We're going to go out and draft this guy because
Mason Rudolph.
Like you.
That's right. And then all of a sudden, Big Ben's like, I don't know why they went out and drafted another quarterback. I plan on being here for a while.
Right.
Well, now this dynamic is about to change. If Mason Rudolph does well, Big Ben could find himself in a very uncomfortable backup role, and I don't think he'll want to do that.
No.
Which is much like Montana didn't want to do that with the 49ers.
Yeah.
So 49ers, he basically forced the 49ers' hand as to what to do, and they went with the kid. And Montana went on to KC and had a couple of nice seasons, but never got back to the Super Bowl, and then Steve Young literally got the monkey off his back against the Chargers in 94 as they blasted the Chargers in the Super Bowl that year.
My only regret as far as, and that is a really accurate, you know, description on how that dynamic is. It is very Montana Young-esque.
Right.
The only thing that I wish had happened, you know, with the Big Ben and Mason Rudolph version
right.
is a similar hit that Leonard Marshall hit put on Montana.
Oh.
But that's neither here nor
yeah,
there.
Yeah, I understand. So. I understand. Other big injuries, of course, Drew Brees. Injured his thumb in the first quarter against the Rams.
Yeah.
It looks like he's going to miss at least 6 weeks. He already has had surgery to repair that tendon in his thumb.
Yeah.
But that's 6 weeks, a long time to wait for your fantasy quarterback. That's over a quarter of a fantasy season.
So
we're going to talk about some of the guys that you could be looking to pick up. But Teddy Bridgewater steps right in. We noticed a potent offense, but Teddy didn't look that good. But now he has a week to sit back and prepare. But teams have a whole week to prepare for him. They can look back at old footage from his playing days.
With the Vikings,
The Vikings, and also even late last season when he made a start week 17 in this offense. So we'll see. With Drew Brees, a big loss. And again, this team had high aspirations of getting back to the NFC Championship game and everything else. No Drew Brees for 6 weeks. Ouch.
Yeah, the Saints were built as a win now team.
Yes.
Because Drew Brees is 40, over 40.
Yeah.
And you know, you got to win now. You especially want to win now for a guy like that, too. And now it's in the hands of Teddy Bridgewater. Or do they do the QB by committee thing and pair him up with Taysom Hill? And
I think Taysom's going to be more involved, definitely. But this team has plenty of playmakers.
Yeah.
And Teddy did a decent job when he was with the Vikings.
They still have Alvin Kamara.
Yeah. He did a decent job when he is with the Vikings of getting the ball to the playmakers. Teddy made a career out of this in college. Mm-hmm. Get it to the guys who's going to get the ball up the field. Yeah. And they have plenty of those with the Saints.
That's the better part of this backup situation.
Yeah.
You know, as opposed to the Big Ben and Mason Rudolph situation, where Mason Rudolph doesn't have any real game experience.
Right.
Teddy Bridgewater got the Vikings to the playoffs.
And it wasn't for one of the most gruesome injuries in practice ever.
Oh,
this
my
guy
God.
May still be starting for the Vikings. Just amazing that he even came back to play.
Right.
And we'll see how high of a level he's going to play as the season rolls forward. More injuries. James Conner, the Steelers running back. I'm always rooting for this kid for all the things that he did in college, having to overcome cancer and everything. Left the game in the fourth quarter with a knee injury. He will be assessed later on this week. Jalen Samuels will take over for him if he misses time. Devin Singletary, the rookie, left the game with a non-contact injury for the Bills. He has 6 carries, 57 yards. Here we go. The old man, Frank Gore. 19 carries, 68 yards and a touchdown. 36 years old.
He doesn't age.
He's the all-time. I keep telling people this. He's the all-time Niners leading rusher, and he has not been a 49er for 5 years.
Yeah, that's amazing.
It also helps that he barely played at University of Miami. I mean, even though he was highly touted, he had a lot of bad injuries that helped train wreck most of his college career. But Frank Gore has picked up the pace, and he may play till 40.
It's as a running back, no less. I mean, as a running back.
Oh, man. Jim, another one of the guys that I've been talking about on this show is Michael Gallup. Michael Gallup's going to be out for a few weeks of the number two wide receiver for the Dallas Cowboys. He had arthroscopic knee surgery yesterday. He's going to miss some time. Really unfortunate, because we are looking for great things. This kid, you know, week one, he had a great week, over 100 yards receiving. We do expect great things, but when you hear arthroscopic knee surgery getting cleaned out, he's going to miss some time. So he's not going to be around, not going to be available. It's going to put more pressure on some other guys to step up as Dak Prescott has stepped up. We'll get into that in thrills and kills. And, well, if you're trying to figure out who's going to be the man with the Chiefs as far as running back, Damian Williams went out with the knee.
Yeah.
So you're thinking LeSean McCoy is going to do well. He went out earlier in the game with an ankle injury.
Yeah.
Both are banged up. Enter Darwin Thompson. Now, we don't know the status yet of whether either one of these two guys, Williams or McCoy, is going to play. But we expected McCoy was going to take over this when they acquired him right before the season started. We really thought that the Chiefs were going to run with McCoy. McCoy has not. He's not been the guy that we thought he's going to be so far this year for the Chiefs. And so you enter another name because somebody at some point has got to be the mayor for the Chiefs, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think in order for that offense to work, and of course, not having Tyreek Hill,
right.
That's a huge wrench to have right there, too.
Oh, yeah.
Since he's out with the injury. Who's out there right now? CJ Anderson, I know, was just released.
Yeah.
From Detroit. Do they go that route?
I don't think CJ catches the ball enough to be in that offense.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Yeah, they like the short, swift guys. Yeah. And the last thing that CJ Anderson is short nor swift. If you saw him in the Super Bowl, you know exactly what I mean.
Well, if you've seen him this season, he looks the same.
Ooh. So I don't think he fits what they're looking for with the Chiefs, but they got to find somebody just to stabilize that position because they're one of the worst rushing teams in the league right now through 2 weeks. And, of course, you have the great deodorant in Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
But at some point, especially at Arrowhead Stadium, you're going to have to be able to run the football.
Yeah. Just from the fact that running the football kills clock.
Yes.
They're going to have to figure this out very, very soon.
Yeah,
so.
No doubt about it. One other injury of note. Alshon Jeffrey, yes, captain soft tissue injury, is out with a calf injury.
Mm.
Yeah. He also is facing a short week. They play the Packers on Thursday, and they had 2 games in 10 days. He may miss both of those games for the Eagles because you just can't put him out there on a bad calf because, you have to push off to run your routes and everything else. So you may not see Alshon Jeffrey, your wide receiver two for a lot of teams. You may not see him in week 3 nor week 4.
Yeah.
Looking forward on the schedule because, again, like I said, 2 games in 10 days for the Eagles, that's a tall order for a guy with the bad calf injury.
A guy who's been very good to me through the fantasy years, A.J. Green, he's still out too.
Right.
He suffered that injury back in July, the end of July. And there's a story on Heavy.com.
Heavy?
Yeah, Heavy.
I like Heavy.
He declined to give any timeline and refuted reports that it would take 6 to 8 weeks to heal.
Mm-hmm.
Green said, I don't know where they got the 6 to 8 weeks from. It's going to be longer than that.
Oh.
And he's right. It's one of those things that just has to heal on its own.
It's already been about 6 weeks.
Yeah. So.
Well, as we get to Andrew Dalton, he's not missing him that much. We'll talk about that later on.
Yeah.
It's time for kills and thrills. So actually, thrills and kills, you should go with the positive before the negative. We go back and forth with this. Thrills and kills are guys that did you well and made your fantasy week, or guys that helped make your fantasy week, and Jim is celebrating.
Ooh, I've got one.
Yeah. Go ahead, buddy.
The New England Patriots defense.
Oh, man. Thrilled you, huh?
Let me tell you.
Okay. They were facing Miami.
And if you didn't,
Fitzpatrick.
If you didn't sign the Patriots defense, if you don't sign anybody who's facing against Miami, who I think is going to be the next 0-16 team, oh, that franchise tastes
love
both sides of perfection.
They would love to be 0-16 this year, by the way.
Oh, my God. Let's see Larry Zonka pop that champagne cork, by the way. But.
Hey, they're also dropping like flies. He may not make it to the end of the season.
Might not. But in one of my leagues, I've got the Patriots defense. They got me 75 points.
Goodness gracious. For a defense.
They were my top scorer.
That's pretty darn good, buddy.
Which is, you know, this is a team that I have Odell Beckham Jr.
Oh, yeah.
Dak Prescott.
So you're loaded, huh?
I'm loaded.
You had a good week. Another guy that thrilled you, well, we talk about how Patrick Mahomes has had to carry the load for the Chiefs as they were in Oakland this past weekend. DeMarcus Robinson, this kid has 6 receptions, 172 yards, 2 touchdowns. While Sammy Watkins did have 13 targets, it was DeMarcus that led the receiving core for KC, catching all of his targets, all 6 of them against the Raiders. And, oh, by the way, you mentioned Patrick Mahomes, 443 yards, 4 touchdowns. Talk about a second quarter for the ages. In the second quarter, he had 278 yards in all 4 of his touchdown passes. I mean, the kid is on fire still. If you took him in the first or second round, Patrick Mahomes has already paid dividends for you through the first 2 weeks. And oh, by the way, in the career 19 games, he's already had 6 300-yard passing games, a record which beats Marino and Kurt Warner, who both had 5 through their first 19 career games.
Hasn't he also had four passing touchdowns, like 8 times already, which is more than Montana did in his career? Granted, different time, different era.
Yeah, it's definitely more of a passing era.
I mean, holy cow, this kid is something.
And you put Mahomes and DeMarcus Robinson, as I mentioned a little bit earlier, those two.
He was really the only thing that happened on one of my teams, too.
Yeah, it happens. Well, those two are definitely thrills.
Yes.
Of the week.
Yeah, baby. Yeah.
Guy that kills you. What we mentioned a little bit ago, LeSean McCoy. Oh, yeah. That's the downside of the KC, as they are anemic, one of the worst in the running games in the league. 11 carries, 4 on the final drive with Damian Williams out. Just 23 yards total, 3 receptions, no yards. So LeSean McCoy, also a Kansas City Chief. Yeah, he kills you. Thrills. Oh, back to the good side of this. Matt Breida from San Fran, 12 carries, 121 yards. Now, Jim, San Fran had a total of 259 yards on the ground, but Matt Breida led the way. And since we're going to couple these guys together, Jimmy Garoppolo getting it done in the air for San Fran as well. 297 yards, 3 touchdowns. You're waiting for Jimmy to get back on his right footing. He did it in week 2.
Certainly did.
So Jimmy Garoppolo, Matt Breida, both of those guys are 2 of your big-time thrills coming out of week 2.
Show me the money!
Somebody's got to catch the football for the Patriots. And this week, it was not Josh Gordon.
No.
2 catches, just 19 yards. Now, if you have him, you kind of have to start him, right, Jim?
I would think.
I mean, but you also got to realize they don't know what's going to happen with Antonio Brown. Now, there's more allegations. Right. This off-the-field stuff is not going away. He did have a nice game in his first game as a New England Patriot with the touchdown and a few catches, but you're just going to ride it out with Josh Gordon from week to week. I mean, he had a good week the week before, but 2 catches, 19 yards. That's a stinker for a team that, I mean, they went into Miami.
Right.
And you thought everybody was going to have a fantasy day. Now, Josh Gordon.
How would you play with Josh Gordon? Like, what would your advice be for that?
You got to ride with him for now.
I mean, at the same time, you see Antonio Brown has definitely clicked as far as the offense goes.
But only one game, though.
Yeah, still.
I mean, but you also know how the Patriots
ride. And that is the Patriots' offense, too. They will go with the hot hand.
Right. I mean, it's whoever Tom Brady had breakfast with that day. It really is. Who he walked in the studio, I mean, who walked in the stadium with that day.
Fun,
I mean, just this week, Josh Gordon must have slept in late.
Yeah, right. Fun fact, by the way, about the Patriots offense.
Yeah.
Of Sony Michel's 36 touches this year.
Yeah.
He has broken 0 tackles.
Well, again, at least he did better this week, because last week he did have 15 carries for 14 yards. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, but unfortunately this week, the
I believe that was a punchline when we saw each other on Sunday.
It was. killed. Josh Gordon killed you in week 2.
You big dummy.
Dak Prescott, a second straight week we're talking about Dak as far as thrilling you. Dak Prescott is trying to get a new contract, and he is earning it on the field. 26 to 30, 269 yards, 3 touchdowns at Washington this week. He also had 18 straight completions at one point in this game. So, by the way, I forgot about the 69 yards he also had on the ground.
Right.
Dak Prescott is getting it done in multiple facets right now. He's a must-start in fantasy football. You've got to ride with him because he is thrilling you every single week so far, Jim.
Just make the most outlandish trade that you possibly can for him.
Well, yeah, because he's got the weapons.
Yeah,
he's still got Zeke, which I mean, ooh, Zeke had a nice game.
Also thrilled.
Yeah, so. Yeah, but I mean, if there's a guy that is riding with in your league that is riding with Dak Prescott, and he's got another quarterback on the bench that you could use right now because you lost your starter,
right?
Or you're streaming guys, and he's got somebody on the bench that you could use. Man, now it's time to make the trade.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
In fact, I might be that guy in one of my leagues. And I'm just kind of, yes.
No doubt. So, yeah, Dak Prescott continues to thrill you going into week three.
Yeah, baby. Yeah.
And then there's D.D. Westbrook. Mm. A lot of guys thought that D.D. was going to be a breakout year. I thought maybe two. You know, Nick Foles there mm-hmm. and, you know, everything that happened. I mean, D.D. Westbrook, I know he's got a new quarterback. Gardner, Beowulf, Minshew. which is a fun fact within itself, is that Gardner Minshew Sr. wanted to name his son Beowulf.
Oh, my God.
When that came out, I pointed this out to you over the weekend.
Oh, my God.
So we can just call him Beowulf. Beowulf here on
we
the
have
show.
To. We have to. But I still can't stop laughing at that, by the way.
But D.D. Westbrook is calling him other things yeah. after he got one reception for 3 yards. D.D. Westbrook was supposed to be a stud going into this year as the number one receiver. Yeah. He is a complete dud and can't even be trusted to start after one catch for 3 yards. D.D. Westbrook is not the number one receiver in this offense this year for Jacksonville, and you have to bench him because if you put him out there, he is killing you right now.
Yeah, that is just a death trap right now. And could he possibly have a new quarterback on the way?
We'll see.
We'll see.
Yeah, he's killing you now, though. No! And then the thrill of all thrills, it thrills everybody but my partner, Jim, to see Odell Beckham Jr. back. Oh my.
Are you kidding me? I loved it. I loved it because I hate Dave Gettleman.
Odell Beckham Jr. doing what he does, one-handed catches, breaking off an 89-yard reception on a slant pattern for a touchdown.
I saw that, too, and I just went...
Yeah, nobody.
I hope Dave Gettleman's watching.
You knew nobody was catching him when he caught the ball.
No.
Six catches, 161 yards on Monday Night Football. And like I said, a touchdown of 89 yards, longest of his career. Odell Beckham Jr., electric game. Back home for one night only.
Right.
Odell Beckham Jr., definitely thrilled in week two.
Show me the money!
And an honorable mention as far as long touchdowns go as well to Julio Jones.
Yeah.
Putting that big one up on Sunday night against the Eagles.
They needed that, too.
Yeah, they really did. And that block by Matthews.
Fun game.
That was a pancake block.
Fun game to watch.
Papa was proud.
And then there's Duke Johnson. Mm. Duke Johnson thought that he was going to be the man, or at least one of the men, when the Houston Texans traded for him.
Right.
And then
within hours, wasn't it?
Well, within a couple weeks, yeah. They picked up Carlos Hyde, who fits more of the running style that they're used to with Miller. And Duke Johnson, 31 yards rushing this past weekend, no receptions.
Yeah.
Just as many receptions as Jim and I had without suiting up for the Houston Texans. Duke Johnson, you know, yes, he killed you this week, but you know Duke is not going to go many games without catching the ball in this potent offense.
And also, the Jaguars defense.
Yeah,
that's a pretty good defense.
Yeah,
man.
Well, without a doubt. But he did.
And they're going to face it again, and it's probably going to be another 13-12 game,
right?
Like it was before. Yeah. There's going to be games where Duke Johnson is going to go off. So maybe you don't put him up against a huge defense or anything, or right. You know, something that Deshaun Watson doesn't mesh well against. Mm-hmm. But you can't let Duke Johnson go, even though he absolutely crushed you this week.
Yeah, you still gotta kind of monitor the matchup and then go from there.
You big dummy!
One more kill,
okay?
Because here's another guy that was highly touted. Going into your fantasy draft is possibly a wide receiver 3 or 4. But as you looked at Jimmy Garoppolo coming back and everything else, Dante Pettis was a guy that you circled that you could get in the mid, late rounds, and he's probably going to be a number one and number two in that offense for the Niners. Dante Pettis cannot be played right now.
Mm-mm.
In week one, he is coming back from a pretty serious injury. He had just 2 snaps in week 1. Week 2, he increased on that. He had 35 snaps in week two as he's coming back from injury again. But zero targets for 0 yards. Jimmy Garoppolo isn't even looking at Dante Pettis right now.
Jimmy Garoppolo doesn't even acknowledge
that
Dante
he's there.
Pettis right now.
Zero targets for 0 yards means 0 points in fantasy. Yeah. I don't care what league you're in.
Yeah, that is. Oof. Yeah, that's not a good situation.
Unless you're in your grandma's league where he just gets points just for showing up to the game. Dante Pettis is a definite kill and should be benched until further notice.
You see, my grandma was never that nice in fantasy football to just give points to guys. Never that nice. She's like, he did nothing. He gets nothing.
He gets you one thing. He gets you the final kill for week two.
That's right.
No! Oh, man. We move on. Jim, we got to try to help the peoples as far as where to be looking on the waiver wire. Because, of course, we need to get the waiver wire going. And, of course, there's going to be a lot of questions as far as guys that could help you, especially if you're having quarterback woes because you lost Roethlisberger or you lost Drew Brees.
God forbid you drafted Eli Manning.
Or you had Trevor Siemian.
Or you had Trevor Siemian. Which, too.
Unless you graduated from Northwestern or are strictly a Northwestern Northwestern Fantasy Football League, why do you have Trevor Siemian?
How did he walk off, by the way? How did the Jets medical staff let him walk off the field?
I don't know.
What a joke. What a joke that team is.
I don't know. It's just, it's.
And the black uniforms. So let's talk about that, too.
Those were nice. I actually like those. They look better than the team that's actually wearing them.
It's a team that prides itself as being gang green.
It was green and black.
Ugh.
They had green in there.
Ugh.
Hey, I'm here to tell you, by the way, a little side note, since you're Le'Veon Bell isn't making it through the season if you keep giving the ball every single play, guys.
No. Welcome to the Luke Falk era.
He wanted 300 touches. He said they were going into the season. You can't give them all to him in the first 5 weeks of the season.
No, you can't.
You can't.
He'll be in a body bag if you do.
No. But let's start the waiver wire. I mentioned this. I wanted to get to him right from the get-go. I know we're talking about the missing of A.J. Green, but Andy Dalton is turning in so far a really nice season.
Yeah.
Definitely should be a guy that you look at on the waiver wire. Despite Cincinnati being 0-2, Dalton has thrown for 729 yards, Jim, 4 touchdowns, just 1 INT. He has a 99.3 passer rating.
That's with bye weeks coming up. Yeah, you take that flyer on an Andy Dalton because he's probably going to keep that going.
Yes, the redhead is getting it done in Cincy, and nobody's really talking about it. But if you lost somebody and you're looking for a flyer, this is a flyer quarterback for you. If you're streaming quarterbacks, think about Andy Dalton. Andy Dalton wants to love you. He's eventually going to hurt you because that's just what Andy Dalton does.
Yeah.
But for right now, you can roll with Andy. Because they don't have anything else. Because their running game, they had a grand total of 25 yards on the ground to Cincinnati last week. Ugh. They're having to throw the football because they can't do anything else.
It's a good thing that he found John Ross, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
and he loves John Ross.
He loves himself some John Ross.
Another quarterback you should be looking at. We just mentioned him. Jimmy Garoppolo. San Fran. I mean, they're facing the Steelers defense this week that's given up 300-plus yards to quarterbacks in each of the first 2 weeks. Jimmy's coming off a 297-yard, 3-touchdown week last week. He's only owning 45% of Yahoo.com leagues. Jimmy Garoppolo, if he's still out there, should not be out there, Jim.
How? How would he be out there? That's what I want to know.
45% of leagues, he's still available.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
So,
but you see his preseason stats, and you're like,
yeah, but
they were pedestrian. And you hear about him throwing picks in preseason again. But that's the
it's
time
pre-season.
You do it.
Yeah.
In practice, yeah. But that's when you do it. You take the chances. But in the games, he's been stellar.
I mean, as far as preseason goes, we're talking about practice.
Yes, we are talking about practice, not the game.
Yeah,
we're talking about practice.
Practice.
We talked about this guy. Before the season started, I told you who he's matched up against the first 3 weeks of the season. I told you Jets, Giants, Bengals. Josh Allen, still getting it done. Yeah. And even added a rushing touchdown this week. Josh Allen is definitely a streaming quarterback. He's got one more week, or you definitely can start him for sure. He's facing the Bengals defense. He's seventh in fantasy quarterbacks after week two. You got to. I mean, you got to take a flyer on Josh Gordon, at least for one more week. Josh Allen.
Yeah.
Josh Gordon, too.
Josh
quarterback.
Gordon, too.
No.
Sure.
No, Josh Allen. You got to do it. It's just one of those guys. I mean, I know he plays for the Bills, but he's got the old man in the backfield, and he loves his two receivers right now.
Yeah, I mean, right now that Bills offense is looking like a pretty solid offense.
He's got a gun for an arm.
Yeah.
And he can run.
It's amazing what, you know, serving up three straight poo-poo platters like, you know, the Jets defense, the Giants defense, and the Bengals defense.
Now, it does get a lot harder.
It gets worse after this.
Yes.
It gets worse.
But this week, again, going against a Bengals defense that's been slow to stop anybody, definitely Josh Allen, if you look for a quarterback at least for this week, he's right there.
If you still have Josh Allen on the week that they play the Patriots, well, don't say we didn't warn you.
Well, who's your other quarterback that week? I guess it depends on who your other QB is on your roster.
But I mean, still.
Running back wise, Jalen Samuels for Pittsburgh. In the games that James Conner missed last season when he went out late the season, Samuels averaged 17 touches a game. If Conner were to miss time, Jalen Samuels is a guy that you can feel comfortable that he's going to get the lion's share of the carries. And again, they're going to have a quarterback out there that they need to get in the comfort zone. And they're going to do it is by giving the ball to whoever's back there in the backfield to try to get that offense going. It's been anemic through the first couple weeks. They need to get the run game going for the Steelers. And if James Conner doesn't play, or even if he does, you can still possibly put Jalen Samuels out there as a flex. So make note of that as well.
As of right now, he's kind of listed as a questionable start, James Conner is.
Yeah, as he was most of the second half of last season that he got banged up.
Right.
Raheem Mostert for the Niners, he led the team in carries and targets last week. Now, we know we talked about Matt Breida and the 121 yards that he had. Mostert, though, had 13 carries, 83 yards, also four targets. Mm-hmm. Three receptions, 68 yards, and a score. Breida is the more productive in the running game, but Mostert is catching the ball out of the backfield, Jim, and also Mostert is the one that's getting the lion's share of the goal line carries.
Yes. He is your vulture.
Yeah. He's the guy that's going to get you what the Godfather says. The luxury, the touchdown.
The luxury, the touchdown luxury.
So, yeah, Raheem Mostert, you can at least start looking at him as a flex, as a waiver wire pickup going into week three. We talked about the old man.
That's a great spot for him, too.
Yeah, Frank Gore, Singletary, left with a hamstring, and could lead to even more carries for the old man, who had 19 carries, 68 yards, and a score. And, oh, by the way, two receptions, 15 yards in week two as well. Only just 8% of the leagues, according to Bleacher Report. So Frank Gore is still out there in a lot of leagues because he's not the starter, but he could be productive for you. He's been leading them in touches and carries the first 2 weeks of the season. And, again, it goes back to getting Josh Allen comfortable. How do you get Josh Allen comfortable? You get the running game going. How do you do that? Well, you feed it to the 36-year-old running back that's seen a lot of running backs.
Right, but still getting the job done.
Right.
I mean, probably the best route to go as far as Frank Gore goes is the day that he retires is when you should probably drop him from your fantasy roster.
He's still going to be productive.
He's going to find his way onto the field.
Yeah.
He just is.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
Remember when he was supposed to retire from the Colts a couple seasons ago?
Yeah.
Those were fun times.
Still going. It's like the Energizer Bunny. Wide receiver-wise, there's one guy I want you to actually, if he's out there, and he's only owned Bleacher Report, he's only owned in 12% of the league. Just 12%. But he's clearly the number one receiver in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
And that's DJ Chark. Four receptions, 146 yards in week one, nine targets, seven receptions and a score last week for Jacksonville. Gardner Minshew loves DJ Chark, and he's the starter and the clear number one receiver in this offense. And Gardner, Beowulf, Minshew loves him. get him. He's a big target too. He's 6'4" out of LSU. The guy's getting all the targets and he's making the most out of them.
Gardner,
Beowulf, Minshew. It's my guy.
Oh. If they remade Napoleon Dynamite, he would be playing Uncle Rico.
There's no doubt about it.
It's typecasting almost. It's typecasting. I feel bad making that joke.
But it's true.
But it's true.
It's true. Two other quarterbacks that you might want to look at least for this week. One we mentioned earlier, Teddy Bridgewater. Now, it's a wait-and-see approach with Teddy. Yeah. I know we haven't seen him. But if you're going to start him this week,
yeah,
he's going against Seattle. He's got up a lot of yards so far this year. But then he's got Dallas and Tampa. So it gets weak.
It gets tougher. This is going to be a good, solid test for Teddy Bridgewater this week.
Yeah. I mean, if you have to have a flyer and you lost your Drew Brees, but you like watching New Orleans.
Right.
Teddy's going to be the guy because he is going to get the ball out to targets. I don't think he was as prepared as we thought for him to come in. Hell, who was?
Right. I mean, when you have a guy who's been as durable as Drew Brees has been, especially in New Orleans, I mean, you're never really ready for it. I mean, it's nice to think that you are, but you're not.
One other guy that we're going to mention, and whenever we mention this quarterback as far as being a waiver wire pickup, we give you the same caveat that I'm going to give you now.
Mm-hmm.
Matchups. Because he's going to hurt you, much like Andy Dalton at some point. He's going to break your heart. He's done it before. But Matt Stafford is facing an Eagles defense that has given up 700 yards passing and 6 touchdowns in the first 2 games of the season. Stafford has already had 75 passing attempts through the first 2 weeks of the season. Wrap your head around that. 75 passing attempts through the first 2 weeks of the season is Matt Stafford.
I mean, let's not forget.
That's a lot of throwing.
Yeah. His arm is going to helicopter off by December, probably. Yeah. But
this is what they do. What he does.
Yeah. It's exactly what and he's it.
He's never had a consistent running game.
Yeah.
Kerryon Johnson had a good week 1.
Yeah.
Okay, week 2.
Yeah.
But Matt Stafford's still going to be throwing the football. And again, against the Eagles defense, this is, at least for this week.
Yeah, he's still got Kenny Golladay out there.
Yeah. Who had a huge game in week 2 as well. Yeah. I think he had 112 yards receiving, touchdown. So Matt Stafford, again.
Right.
Again.
Hey, he's
just for this week.
He's undefeated this year.
Yeah.
Asterisk.
Oh, and that is your waiver wire for going into week 3. I know you've been wanting to hit on this, Jim, because there are a couple of big stories that are going on. But as we are doing this show, the big news came out today that Eli Manning has been benched by your New York Giants in favor of Daniel Jones.
Danny Dimes.
As they had been highly criticized for taking him where they took him in the first round of this year's draft. And now, Daniel Jones is going to be the starter.
I don't expect big things this week, by the way, because every report that I've read today about, how much he's practiced with the first team and all that, he hasn't really practiced that much with the first team at all this season. So, if you're thinking of, maybe making that pickup, I wouldn't this week. Or if you really just wanted to be sneaky about it and, take the flyer right now and have, just silently waiting on your bench. That might be a good way to go. But he's been splitting like practice squad time with Alex Taney.
And
so it's not like the Giants are doing him any favors right now.
And they
that
don't.
Said, he looked great in the preseason.
Yeah.
He can move at least better than Eli Manning can.
Well, and the other thing is they don't have a lot of weapons. Sterling Shepard missed last week.
Yeah.
I mean, so you got Saquon who's gonna be out there.
Yeah. You got Saquon, you got Evan Engram. But
there's not a lot of weapons.
Yeah.
I mean, so we'll see. I mean, I'm not ready to take a flyer on Daniel Jones. I'm taking the definite let somebody else pick him up right now, wait and see approach.
So does Eli wind up getting traded, though, somewhere?
Well, that's the other thing.
He's got a no trade.
Eli Manning has been a heck of a quarterback.
Yeah.
If you look at his career, 14 out of the 15 years of his career, he made every single start. I mean, it's Brett Favre-esque. It's his brother-esque. You know, at that position to do what he did, and the one start that he missed over the past 15 years wasn't due to injury.
Yeah.
It was due to the ineptitude of the coaching staff and ownership.
Ben McAdoo.
Yeah.
Those were
Eli
terrible days.
Has missed one start and not due to injury.
Yeah.
In 15 years.
Yeah. So this is a whole new role. Being the backup.
Well, here's the other thing. Well, he's gonna play nice, and he and Daniel Jones are good friends.
Yeah.
Eli's taken criticism a lot over the years. Some of it justified. A lot of it justified.
Yeah.
He just has not been a good quarterback the last 3 or 4 years, whether it be due to the offense or just his lackluster play or a combination of the two. He's never had the greatest receivers.
No.
I mean, he had some decent receivers when he won 2 Super Bowls, but they also had amazing defense, too.
Yeah.
And some spectacular catches over the years as well. Never had a consistent running game. I mean, hit and miss. I mean, it's a shame. Real. It's a shame that he gets Saquon at the end of his career.
Right, I know, right? It's such a shame.
He had Tiki early on.
Yeah,
and he had some guys. I mean,
a patchwork.
Yeah, you know. They had a couple different. It was all on Eli every week.
It really was.
But he had a damn good defense that if he put up 21, 28, they could stay in a lot of games.
Yeah, they did just enough. I'm thinking back to the Ahmad Bradshaw and Brandon Jacobs days, by the way, as I'm saying this.
Yeah.
But he made the plays when he needed to make the plays.
Right. Right.
And now,
there's nobody
I mean, he's got no weapons besides Saquon Barkley.
And he's not the same quarterback.
He's not the same quarterback.
He was more mobile.
Yeah.
When he came out of Ole Miss and early on in his career, he was more mobile than any other Manning.
Yeah.
Even Archie.
That's not saying much, but.
But you look at him, he's 38.
Yeah.
He can barely move around.
Yeah.
And you ask me a question is, does he get traded? Well, here's the thing about it.
Do you trade him for the locker room presence or do you trade him?
He's not going to be a bad guy.
Yeah,
he's not. He's not going to be a bad guy in the locker room.
No.
And he's on the last year of his deal. He's going to sit there, take his $10 million. He's not going to play bad. Again, he and Daniel Jones are buddies.
Mm-hmm.
Jags, Steelers, Jets, 3 teams that could use a veteran quarterback at this point in their season. Guess what? None of those 3 can afford to take in the $10 million.
Right.
So at least Carolina, who knows they have a hurt quarterback.
Yeah.
Are they willing to take a chance on an Eli Manning that may not be the answer?
And I wouldn't if I was Carolina. I wouldn't.
Yeah.
I mean, what over the last 18 weeks of games – have you seen from Eli Manning that makes me go, I trust him to be able to keep the ship afloat for a couple of weeks?
Right. And by the way, the Jags just made a trade. They got a guy the Steelers wish they would have had.
Right.
and Josh Dobbs.
Yeah.
Because he was a decent number 2, number 3 for them.
Yeah.
And who would have thunk it? The week after they trade him to the Jags, their quarterback goes down for the season. They're like, well, the game wouldn't have lost it. But, yeah. I mean, Tom Coughlin, which was the head coach for Eli, doesn't want him.
Yeah.
That says all you need to know about 38-year-old Eli Manning.
Yeah.
But they would rather go with Gardner Minshew, Beowulf Jr., than take a chance on Eli, a guy that Tom Coughlin knows like the back of his hand.
We need to find a wolf sound, by the way. Just a mental note.
New Orleans? Here's an option. Now,
that'd be, you know.
I think they could absorb the salary. I'm not sure. I didn't look at the numbers before we started the show. But they could absorb it, and he grew up in the New Orleans area.
Yeah.
His dad was, the number 2 overall pick in 1971 draft.
His dad was the face of the franchise.
Yes. Yeah, it was a really bad face, and he took a lot of beatings.
It was terrible. Terrible team.
But could he go home? I mean, but then when Drew Brees comes back in 6-7 weeks.
Yeah, where does that leave him?
Leaves him back on the bench where he is right now.
He's the third string.
Yeah.
Possibly even the fourth string behind Taysom Hill.
Yeah, no doubt. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens with this Eli thing.
Yeah.
But he may just end up staying there
because
he's going to play nice.
Yeah, he's been the ultimate teammate all through, especially this whatever the heck they're doing as far as personnel goes on this team.
Yeah, yeah.
He's been the ultimate. He's been the ultimate nice guy about everything.
No doubt. No
so
doubt.
I don't think he wants to tarnish his legacy either. You know,
no.
I don't think he wants to. You know, I think he's taken the hits enough to where he sees what happened with his brother, with Peyton, yeah. You know, how he was basically carried to that last Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, let's face it, the Denver defense won that Super Bowl.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. Because they benched him without benching him. They gave him a month off with an injury.
With an injury, yeah.
Yeah.
So.
They told him, go home and we'll see you in January.
Yeah, exactly.
that's exactly how they did Peyton Manning the last Super Bowl year.
And so I just see Eli, you know, kind of taking that backup role and really just doing what he can for Daniel Jones.
And very few guys can say that they played their entire career in one jersey.
Yeah, exactly.
Eli does not look like the journeyman.
No, he really doesn't.
He's a giant.
Yeah.
He leads in most of his statistical categories, if I can actually say statistical right.
Yeah, right. But this has been... You know, like his career has been an era for that team.
That's right. And the era is over.
The era is over.
It's the era of Saquon.
Yeah.
And we just have to pay respects to a quarterback that did a lot more with less on that offense for a long time.
Let's thank Eli, too, because without him, Tom Brady has 8 Super Bowl rings.
That's very true.
So...
We need to wrap this up and get to the 2-minute warning. And this is going to be interesting because normally we have the Godfather to throw things at. I'm not going to.
Normally the Godfather can save us from the meltdown that
I'm not going to do that to you, buddy.
Okay.
As we do the 2-minute warning, I'm going to rotate. I'll give you one and I'll take one. So I'll put the pressure on myself too.
All right,
okay. Start off. And of course, these are guys, the matchups. Some of them not so favorable. Let's put it that way. Jim, I'll start with you. Baker Mayfield at Rams or Joe Flacco at Green Bay?
Ooh. I would say Joe Flacco at Green Bay.
Oh, I like Joe, huh?
Because I think Baker Mayfield is going to get a couple of introductions to Aaron Donald.
Yeah.
In a big way. The Browns are going to be better this year. They're still not the class of the league, though. And the Rams are a defending conference
let's
champion.
Face it, Greg Williams had him pretty confused, too.
Yeah, he did.
On Monday Night Football, for at least the first half. My first matchup is Mason Rudolph at San Fran or Gardner Beowulf Minshew at home versus Tennessee. I'm going to go with Mason in this one.
Okay.
First start at San Fran. They're going to do whatever they can to make him comfortable getting the run game going, but he still does have a juju who's returning to Cali, who's going to want to have a big game. I'm going to take Mason over Beowulf in this one. For you, buddy, Kirk Cousins at home against the Raiders or Matt Stafford, who we mentioned a minute ago as a possible flyer. Matt Stafford's at Philly.
You mentioned it a lot that Philly defense has given up a lot of yardage.
700 plus in 2 games.
And Stafford's going to sling it. I like Stafford.
Interesting. All right. I have Mark Ingram, the running back for the Baltimore Ravens at KC or Kerryon Johnson at Philly. This is tough. Mark Ingram, 29 years old. He's been inconsistent, to say the least. It's only through the first 2 weeks. KC does tend to get up a lot of yards, though.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Mark. I'm going to go with Mark Ingram over Kerryon Johnson and this one at KC. The KC defense still, I mean, they did a good job of containing the Raiders last week on the road. Mark Ingram's going to, because they're going to, you know, that they're going to try to get Mark Ingram involved, more involved in that offense this week with the Ravens on the road. Jim, Derrick Henry at Jacksonville, or your boy, Sony Michel, at home against the Jets.
Oh, man, against the Jets. What was my first option?
Derrick Henry at Jacksonville.
Derrick Henry.
That's a tough one.
Yeah, that's, man.
Because which Sony Michelle will show up?
Yeah. is it going to be the Sony Michelle that we know can actually do something, or is it going to be the Sony Michelle who watches James White do all the heavy work?
That's yeah. The Patriots' bag.
Oh, God, I hate the Patriots for that reason.
You got to make a pick, buddy.
Yeah, I know.
You don't do so well at this.
God, that's such a tough choice. Come
just
on.
Pick one.
Derrick Henry.
All right, Derrick Henry. I have Brandon Cooks at Cleveland or Calvin Ridley at Indy. Can't rely on Brandon Cooks. I would love to. I got to go with Calvin, my guy, at Indy on turf. Again, as we mentioned at the beginning of the year, that the Atlanta Falcons played 13 of their 16 games on turf this year indoors. Yeah. So Calvin Ridley on the road. I'm taking Calvin over Brandon Cooks, who you just can't rely on from week to week. A couple more here, buddy. Jim, you have Emmanuel Sanders at Green Bay or John Ross at Buffalo?
I like John Ross.
John Ross.
Book it, John Ross.
Oh, man. Andy Dalton loves his guy. We'll see what happens on the road. Tight ends. Delanie Walker at Jacksonville or Jimmy Graham at home versus Denver? When I was writing this down, I knew it was going to be tough. I didn't know I actually had to pick it. I'm going to go with Delanie Walker in this one at Jacksonville, because Delanie Walker, when he does play, he's the more consistent of the two.
He is.
And to round out the two-minute warning, Jim, I'm going to give you a tough one. Browns defense at home against the Rams or Baltimore going in the Arrowhead against KC? Oh, man.
Man.
I know.
Yeah, that is rough.
Twice last.
Oof. And what a great last pick that is. Thank you so much, buddy.
Clock's ticking.
First choice.
You mean the Browns defense?
Browns defense. Thank you. Yeah.
I only give you A or B. How do you not remember the A?
I kind of blacked out once you Baltimore.
And that's the end, mercifully, of the two-minute warning. And also, another edition of the Roster Doctors has come down to a close. We appreciate you for checking it out. Of course, you can go on Twitter and follow us on Twitter at RosterDocsWSBT. If you have questions as you're making your lineup throughout the week, you can always tweet us with the questions. We'll try to get back to you as quick as possible. We know they're important that you get your rosters out there. One other thing of note, we did lose a really good friend of ours in the radio world. Mm-hmm. Jim and I loved Ron Stryker. He was a big part of our success early on in our careers. A different company, Ron Stryker, who passed away this past week. All you can say, I think, Jim, I think you agree with me, is the guy you heard on the air was the same guy that walked the hallways with us every single day.
Almost kind of unassuming, too.
Yes.
He would actually. I saw it happen many times. He would just talk to anybody who came in and picked up a prize.
Everybody.
And like, as I was hearing some stories about it, you know, there one guy chimed in with a story of Stryker talking to him for like 20 minutes, and then Stryker goes, "Oh wait, I'm on the air," and.
But that's Stryker, though.
That was Stryker.
That's Stryker.
Yeah, he cared about not just the people that he worked with, but he cared with the people that were listening to him on a daily basis.
And he approached you. Yeah. You'd have to approach him.
Yeah.
I don't know how many times, because my desk was right behind his, and he just would peek over and say, "My man." So, Ron Stryker, you definitely... Yeah. We're our man, and we will miss you, buddy. And again, guys, we appreciate you listening to Roster Docs. Follow us on Twitter at Roster Docs WSBT. Good luck to you in week 3.